straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
This is On Second Thought, episode 313, brought to you by Hook'em.com, our good friends at Bud Light. I'm Cedric Golden, as usual, joined by Taylor's favorite duck, Kirk Bowles. And we're reaching for best drop royalty today. Texas Longhorns are playing the Houston Cougars at 3 o'clock on Saturday in H-Town on Fox. And so we had to bring in our guy, Joseph Duarte of the Houston Chronicle. Longtime friend of the podcast, Joe D. What's poppin'?
What's up, guys? You know, at some point, we're just going to do these, and we're all going to be in the nursing home one day, and we're just going to do these Zooms. we're all getting up there in age, and but it's always good to see my guys from Austin.
Sooner than others.
Let me try that nursing home intro. On Second Thought, episode 2074. Brought to you by Mills of Magnesia and the VFW Bingo Hall. I don't know my name, and I don't know anyone else's name, but we're still rolling. There you go.
I gotta go take a nap.
Yeah, and I have to remember, who are you guys again? So
don't care. I think we're going to be at a football game this weekend, though.
We are.
Why don't you talk to us about those resurgent Houston Cougars who brought it with the Hail Mary, Donovan Smith to Stephon Johnson, 49 yards, to take out the Mountaineers. What's the mood on that locker room now?
Well, you know, Dana Holgorsen joked that when he got home Thursday night, he had about 50 or 60 people at his house. And I was like, you know, that may sound like a regular Dana post game, but he said that the neighborhood, the parking wasn't, there wasn't enough parking in the neighborhood. So they haven't had a lot of that to really celebrate this year. Said, you know, the Rice game took a lot out of this program early on, and it was the week before the TCU game. So there was, you know, the excitement was there for the Big 12, but people were, you know, sort of down after that game. But this is a program that needed that win. And to see it sort of the pendulum swing where you have an 11-point lead, then you blow it, they take the lead with 12 seconds left. TV panned to Dana, and you could see a guy that was like, you know,
I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done. You know, what do we do now? And then to see Donovan Smith go out there and, you know, the teams practice that play. We know that. But it just literally fell into place and fell into the right guy's hands at the right moment. But they needed that win. And 3-3 now, there's still a chance. You know, they can still get to those six wins for a bowl. It's going to be tough, but they certainly are a lot better off this week right now than they were a week ago at this time.
I'm confused. I thought Dana said he could go 1-11 as long as he beats Texas. You're talking about Rice and West Virginia games. I mean, they don't even matter. It's a one-game season, right?
Yeah, but you also remember Dana was the, you know, I don't know if we have the little pause button for cuss words, but he was like, there's no effing hot seat. There's no blanking buyout. There's no all that. But
I didn't like the way he talked to you that day. But Joe D, that was mean.
That wasn't me.
Who was it?
I think it was Sam Kahn from the Athletic.
Sam Kahn Gatto. That's right.
I mean, you guys have covered the Big 12 long enough and knew Dana when he was, you know, an assistant to Tech and Oklahoma State. But, you know, this is a guy that came in a lot of expectations. You don't leave a sitting Power 5 job to go to a group of five without there being some type of plan. Now, $20 million was a good start for them to get him. But, you know, once they got into the Big 12, you know, I think Dana knew that this was going to be a challenge and this was going to be tough. And 5 years in, Houston fans are still looking for, you know, that season. You know, they won 12 a couple years ago against a schedule that wasn't as tough. But, you know, they've got to get some consistency going. And right now the jury's still out on whether, you know, Dana's that person to take them there.
Well, West Virginia, so he knows these Big 12 streets. Yeah. He knew what he was getting into. And I don't blame
him. More work here.
Yes, for being a little feisty. But imagine him at 2-4 having to play the Longhorns. surely, as a 22-point dog, the expectations aren't high that they're going to get it done. But I'd rather be 2-4 going in at 3. I mean, I'd rather be a 22-point dog going in at 3-3 than 2-4. So even if they lose, he could still get to a bowl game. So maybe a little bit of the pressure's off of Dana for now.
They've got Baylor and Cincinnati. Those are two games that you got to think, even though one's on the road, they have a chance. And then the last two, Oklahoma State and UCF, you know, I'd probably flip a coin on one of those. So, yeah, there's a shot. That Vegas, I think, had them at 4 or 5 wins to begin the year, Cedric. So, they're about what we thought right now, you know, but they have been inconsistent in a lot of areas. But, you know, this was not going to be – this is no longer the Conference USA and American Athletic Conference that they've been in for the last 30 years. And, you know, you got to remember there's some bad blood between these schools, probably more from Houston's side. I don't think Texas really has cared much or thought much about Houston in the past, but, you know, Dana, this August, he was at his radio show and a fan asked him about, hey, the Big 12 is not what we thought it would be since Texas is leaving. A&M left a decade ago. And Dana said, screw them. Those were his words. He said, screw those teams.
Oh yeah.
He basically said they didn't want us and we don't want them. And so, you know, maybe there's a little bit to that, but it's something that it certainly was brought up in his press conference this week.
Well, I'm looking on the video. I don't see any elephants in the room, but we know they're there. So point blank, Joe, is he on the hot seat? Is Tillman Fertitta dissatisfied, unhappy to the point where he'd be willing to make a change if it goes sideways this year?
Yeah, Kirk, you know, more people I talked to, the West Virginia game didn't change the whole big picture, but I think, you know, kind of an 11th hour reprieve, maybe you get a little bit of a cushion or you get a little bit more space that you're not as hot as it was because it would have been an inferno at that point. But I still think that the way this plays out will go a long way to determining what happens. If they go 4-8, mm-hmm. And that means they just win one more. You know, I could see a change. Now the holdup, you know, they don't roll in money like they do in Austin, and you know you got to dig for those quarters and pennies in the sofa cushions here. $14 million is a lot of money, and mm-hmm. Is that a matter of does Tillman Fertitta write that check? You know, they gave this guy an extension a couple of years ago based off of the one good season and the fact that they were getting into the Big 12. That was in his contract, so. Long answer. I think that there could be and there probably should be some heat on it. And if they do, you know, they're looking for another head coach after 5 years. And, you know, that's just not the recipe that they, I mean, they've lost coaches to other schools. Now they're having to fire them for not producing.
Well, here's the thing. Those 50 to 60 people that showed up at his house, they were already there. They just left the for sale sign. Signs in,
open house.
In their cars, and they were listening on the radio, and it just turned into a great celebration because his head was on a slab until that play. You know it was. Well, talk to us about Donovan Smith. I mean, and that's a familiar opponent for the Longhorns. How has he changed his game up? 21 of 27, 253 yards. We know he can use his feet, but he's doing it a little bit with his arm in that game. How is he different than when he was playing in the Big 12?
Well, you know, you alluded to them last year. He leads Texas Tech to the win against the Longhorns. And, you know, even then, though, it wasn't his job. This time he's not looking over his shoulder. He's the guy here. You know, there's not a quarterback controversy. He's not having to wonder if, you know, they're going to go and change out quarterbacks. And you can see that. He's comfortable. Earlier in the year, I think he was still feeling his way through some stuff, whether it was – getting a rapport with the receivers or just learning the system. And, you know, the last game he completed his last 16 passes. You know, we talked to him on Tuesday and he said that he felt like he was in a zone and you can see that growth. I think his completion percentage is about a little over 70% the last few games. You know, he's not throwing interceptions. He's making good decisions. And you're right. He is that big body type of quarterback that you can do things with him in the running game. Now, if you ask some Houston fans, they don't use him in the right situations because Houston has just been bad in fourth and short and third and short situations where they don't try to just use that big body to gain that yard and they go different directions. But this offense has evolved with him. You know, that second half against Rice where they really showed what they could do was a big step. And then the following week against TCU in the first half, they do practically nothing. So they've sort of had to balance how they brought along the offense. But I think what you've seen from Houston the last couple of weeks and Donovan Smith is what they had hoped for and envisioned when they got him from Lubbock, because that was a big get. They needed a quarterback to replace Clayton Tune.
But do they design many runs for him, Joe? Like, you know, Dylan Gabriel went for over 100 yards against Texas. Not too much by design, a lot of scrambles and leaking out when pass receivers were covered. So do they design many runs for Donovan Smith?
There are some. Dana, you know, Dana likes the RPO stuff, so they sort of have the ability to do different things based on, you know, what they see or if the line, you know, I really think that Donovan has a little bit more say and when once he gets up there and looks at things. But, you know, I don't know the percentage, Kirk, but they have early on, and maybe it's like those scripted plays early on that they do try to get him involved in the where their design runs. But the way he's passing these days and the fact that he's got some really good receivers that have emerged and some of them with, you know, Big 12 backgrounds. This is an offense that has shown the ability to put up some points. Now, does that happen this weekend? That's the tough question because of the challenge that Texas presents. But, you know, Donovan Smith has certainly improved the last few weeks.
What is this fan base? Are they, you know, I know old people like us remember the Southwest Conference and how Houston was left outside the door when the Big 12 was formed. And so we know that the older fans are chomping at the bit to try and get a little piece of Texas flesh. But what's the mood like with these other fans that weren't around for that and for these players in particular who don't – I don't really think they care about the history. What's their mood like?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much the history as it's Texas. You know, you don't have to be a certain age to know what the Longhorns are, what they represent. You know, that logo on the helmet, you know, everybody talks about the SEC. I mean, I get you guys back for a year and then you just bolt to the SEC. So, you know,
it's not personal. Yeah. It's not personal.
It's not personal. Okay.
It's not me. It's you. I mean, we feel like we're holding you back, Houston.
Well, I waited, what, 20 years to get back into the Big 12. So, but you know, I don't think it's the age. I just think it's Texas. And, you know, if you lived in Florida and you're Central Florida, well, you know, it's Florida State or Miami. I mean, there's always that one program. And I think it's magnified that the fact that Texas hasn't been back here in 21 years. You know, they tried to work out an agreement when the Tom Herman buyout stuff, and they said, no, we'll just write you the check. We don't want to play home and home in football or men's basketball. Then you think about Bleachergate. You know, the last time Texas fans were here, they were stuck in Hoffman's Pavilion because of the bleachers weren't deemed safe. So there's a lot of that for the old folks that remember. Yeah, new ones, they just want to go out there. If you're a Houston fan and you're, you know, 20 years old or something, you just want to go out there and beat Texas. That's all it is.
Yeah, and this is a sellout. Do you expect it to be half full of Longhorn?
I think it's going to be 60%. 60 to 65% would be my guess.
Wow.
I think people are using this as a payday if you have season tickets. You know, you sell them, you get some money.
I'm not mad at them.
No.
I'm not mad at them.
I mean, this was the game on the schedule. This one was circled. They knew it would be a sellout. Some of the other games haven't, you know, the TCU game was 36, I believe. But yeah, this one will be interesting because that's, you know, there's a difference between playing at NRG and having 70,000 people there, and you know 50 of it is going to be Texas fans. On your on-campus stadium at home, that's not a good look. But, I mean, it just comes with the territory. If you're Texas and you travel and you pay, you know, they fill up a lot of stadiums, not just this one.
How have they drawn this year, Joe D?
Scan versus butts in the seat you can tell the difference. I think they had like 32 for West Virginia, but it looked probably closer to 21, 22. So, and that was a Thursday night game. And then other games, you know, they've had Sam Houston, so that one's hard to gauge. But, you know, the TCU one was a good atmosphere. UTSA, that's when they brought out the Love You Blue jerseys.
That was cool.
Those were nice. Those were very nice.
They should have saved that for Texas. I'm sorry. They should have saved that.
Yeah, they I guess you try to hype up a certain game. There's this game doesn't need any hype for if you're a Houston marketing department. So they just kind of picked. Plus the fun fact on that, guys, Rice had those jerseys in a box in their office at the school. Houston found out about them, so they wanted to beat Rice to the punch and get their Oilers jerseys out before Rice did. That's why they did it early in the year, just so that they could say, we rolled these out before you guys did.
How did that work out for Houston?
Well, exactly. We got the jerseys out. You get the win. They probably take the win instead of the jerseys.
Yeah. One thing I noticed is that, Houston ranks, ninth in the country in turnover margin. They're a plus
good.
Seven.
Really good.
Right.
And I think they've had four games with zero turnovers. So they protect the ball pretty well, don't they?
Yeah, a clean ball, and that's surprising because in the backfield, they have a freshman running back, Parker Jenkins.
Parker Jenkins.
He's been real good with the ball. And the big problem on that, Kirk, is until last week, they hadn't produced points off that turnover. I think they had only had two touchdowns off of all those turnovers.
That's bad.
But they've got some, their defense, for as many problems as they have, they've been much better this year at having big moments that kill drives, end zone interceptions, that kind of stuff. And it's sort of been able to change the game. Now, the offense doesn't do its part, but at least it gave them, one drive where, Texas Tech didn't score or something like that. But, you're right, though. It has been a big improvement in that. And that's something that this goes back several years. Houston's usually been good at, and this is just, another one of those years.
Here's the thing I got to ask you. I mean, we're in the middle of the ALCS, and the Houston Astros are struggling to keep their season alive. And we talked about this on Monday. This is you live in a pro town, Joe D, but this is a pretty big college football game. And even given what's going on, I know the Rockets are in the preseason and that's going on. There's still a pretty palpable buzz, I would suspect, in the city because it's Texas coming into town. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah. I mean, look at I think Houston's got to be one of the largest Texas fan base or alumni bases in the country. So, I mean, look at that. The game day experience around here has improved a lot since they joined the Big 12, where, you'll see a lot more parties, tailgates, that kind of stuff. Ask Kelvin Sampson, how do you carve a cut of the pie in a pro city? And he's done that. He's got the blueprint. You win. That's what you do. You go to Final Fours. You go to Sweet 16s. Football's not quite there yet. I will say Tom Herman did a – I know you guys don't like to hear that name on this podcast.
I love Tom Herman.
Well,
do you love him?
Now that he's not in Austin,
Tom was here in the whole H-Town takeover, for this city, he was a great salesman. Could pitch it. He could promote it, and they haven't had that since then. And I think now with the push for the Big 12, they're able to maybe start carving that out there. And it's really been fueled by basketball because there hasn't been a lot to get behind with football. But if they can have a good season, whether it's next year or whatever, fans will come, and they can have their piece of the pie in this. But I mean, it's always going to be an Astros town. Texans, Rockets, stuff like that.
Did they up their season ticket sales with the Big 12 and Texas on the schedule? I don't know what number they
Yeah, got. They did something smart. The Texas game was sort of like an add-on in terms of how they sold the tickets, but I think they were at 27,000 season tickets, which is a 40,000 seat stadium. Before that, even in their good day in 2016 and 2015, they were probably 23, 24. So this was an improvement. They had a really nice base to start with. And then the individual tickets went pretty fast. This one was sold out about a week ago. And yesterday on Monday, the student allotment of about 5,500 went in a couple of hours. So there's some buzz.
And I know they got a bunch of portal. They got 12 transfer portal guys come in.
It's 42 newcomers completely, so not quite Dion-ish, but up there. Yeah,
up there.
And they do have a lot of portal guys. If you look between Donovan Smith, Tony Mathis Jr. was the leading rusher at West Virginia last year. The guy who caught the Hail Mary, Stephon Johnson, was at Oklahoma State. Sam Brown is one of the, I think he's the Big 12's leading receiver right now. He was at West Virginia. So, I mean, and Michael Laughlin's a tight end. He was at West Virginia. They got Tyler Johnson. He used to play, you know, reserve on the offensive line of Texas. He's starting left guard. So, you know, they've got, you know, Pac-12, Big 12, SEC guys. And a fun story, one of their starting corners is right down the street at from Texas Southern. So he had the shortest transfer of about three blocks of any player in the nation.
He didn't have to move.
Isaiah Hamilton. So he literally told me he got on his little scooter and transferred to Houston. So that was kind of a cool
the scooter transfer. I love it. You know what's interesting too is that, you know, and Houston to me has always kind of belonged in the Big 12, said and Joe. Yeah. I just think, you know, a lot of history. You go back to the Bill Yeoman and Run and Shoot and John Jenkins and stuff and Pardee and boy, you know, Heisman Trophy winners, great offenses.
Andre and all Ware. That.
And you look how big the city is, and it's like, to me, Joe, it's like, okay, with Texas, no, you leaving. It's kind of the whole, you know, pinnacle thing is up for grabs. Who wants to be the bell cow in right. the new Big 12? But could you make a case for Houston? And I don't know, maybe that puts more pressure on Dana this year. I don't know.
No, that's a good point. And we actually brought that up to Dana at the press conference this week about with those two schools leaving, who sort of takes the baton? You know, who's that team now?
Right.
From a size standpoint, no one else in the Big 12 can match Houston. I mean, it's the fourth largest city in the country. They're in a hot recruiting bed, but you got to win. So you look at you would have thought at one point maybe it was Baylor, and Baylor sort of dropped off. Is it Oklahoma State? You know, is it one of the is it Kansas State? You know what they're doing.
TCU.
So I mean, I think really it's in the way that the way that the season's played out this year. I think it's anybody, and I think that'll be interesting to see what happens. Is it Colorado coming in next year or Arizona State in there? There's a lot of uncertainty over stuff because you don't know how this thing's going to completely look when it's all said and done. You know, in basketball, for instance, if they go out and get Gonzaga, I mean, you've already got the preseason number one. You've got the number seven. You've got Texas at, what are they, 15 or so? And then you have 18. Yeah. So, I mean, this is, you know, for this season – this is about as strong on the basketball side as the, you know, the Big 12 has, you know, been like just like last year. But football, there's a little bit, we have to figure out who are going to be the players moving forward.
Yeah, it's a killer basketball league.
Mm-hmm. Last one for me, Joe. Can they make this close? Can they win this game? Can they upset Texas? Because if they do that, Dana can run for mayor next week.
Yeah. You know, I don't see it said. And it's not so much an indictment on everything that they would do wrong. I think just Texas is a much better team. The areas that Texas excels are where Houston has trouble. The size element, the trenches, that right there in the front on the offensive line and defensive line, that could be a problem. The biggest fear, I think, if you're a Houston fan or administrator, is that you're not competitive in the game, and then you just get completely blown out. You give up 60 points, and how does that look? Just because you've waited so long and you want to have a good showing. I think they could keep it competitive for a while. I just don't think that the problems that they had against TCU and Texas Tech are now going to be tenfold in terms of second half and being worn down. So, I mean, I could see this thing getting out of hand and being a 30-plus. I mean, so I think it's 22-point line right now. I could see that, you know, being 30 and Texas covering.
Yeah. Well, I think a big key, Matt Golden's another transfer. Where did he come from?
Well, he was a high school signee. He was committed. Okay. He was from the Klein here in town, but he was committed to TCU.
I got you. Okay.
And he was a guy.
Kick returns for touchdowns, right?
Two kickoff returns, leads the nation. And the other one, and you won't see him, but, you know, Houston was able to get Mikael Harrison-Pilot from Temple. He was the big receiver. His dad was a linebacker here. He was committed he was looking at several schools, and he ended up coming to Houston. He's a four-star. And then Jonah Wilson was the kid who was committed to Texas. He's the wide receiver. He won't play. They're looking to redshirt those guys. But, you know, Dana's gotten three four-star guys in this last class. And then the big one was Alton McCaskill. They thought that he'd be the guy in the backfield this year. They lose him to Colorado, so that sort of changed things up. But it also gave a guy like Parker Jenkins a chance to break into the lineup this year.
Yeah, that's been big. I think really, like you said, the turnovers, they got to play turnover free. Golden's got to return a kickoff. And I really think they should go make the Hail Mary their base offense, you know, every series.
Even a bunch of other people.
Throw at least. I asked Sarka this week about it, and he said he's 1-1. He did one at USC, and he got victimized once at USC. And so I think they're practicing that every day for like 2 hours, their Hail Mary defense, I think.
Right, and you saw what, you know, what Oklahoma could do against Texas if you get some early turnovers and how that can, you know, change. So, I mean, I look at this back in 2016, Lamar Jackson came to town, and Louisville was number three. And, you know, that was a Thursday night game. And first play of the game, the opening kickoff, Louisville fumbles, Texas, Houston scores, and it's like a 30-point lead before you know it. I don't think we see anything quite like that, but that just shows how you can sort of change the dynamics if you can get an early maybe confidence boost, or if you get a few turnovers, and but you got to score on those turnovers. So that's that'll be key for Houston on Saturday.
And lastly, you said the press box really cold.
Yeah, bring your parka and everything. But I'm more interested. I got to know what's going on with my Bastrop Bears. I have a direct line to the school now. I guess maybe when you get old enough and you learn some names and people think you're legit in the sports writing world or something. But we've got, and I say we because you know I'm a Bear. We got a freshman quarterback who already has an offer from Oregon. And we've got a sophomore defensive tackle who's got Texas, Georgia, Tennessee, and Houston offers already. So my Bears are looking pretty good. They beat Kerrville in a big upset a few weeks ago and then hammered. You know, we don't even look at Cedar Creek. I mean, they say that's like a cross-town rival. That's cross-county. We don't care about Cedar Creek. But I've been really impressed with my Bears the last few weeks.
We're still waiting for your last Bear, Alfred Collins, to make a big spot.
Yeah, you know, I saw him on TV in the Red River game, and, you know, that's
– He gets a pass deflection like every
– He's a big boy.
4 months.
He's a big guy. So, someday, you know, Taylor will get the nerve to get back in the district with us and play. And we play Hutto, so I don't know why we don't play Taylor. You know, Elgin, Smithfield, nobody wants to play Taylor, you know.
Why would they? I mean, they're scared. We intimidate a lot of people.
You do. Quack, man. Quack.
Is that it? Yeah, because you see a duck and you go running. Yeah.
Hey.
I think I'd rather fight a duck than a bear.
Oregon duck's pretty good. Come on, dude.
Well, you know what they say, Kirk? If a duck comes after you, you just play dead and it might not attack. So, yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. It'll be a fun game. And at least for us in the press box, it'll be fun. And we'll try to roll out the Houston hospitality for you.
How about that French's fried chicken? How about Brody? How about that?
Just for you. You bring some kolaches from Ellinger, and we'll provide the Frenchies.
That sounds good, man. Man, great visit with you, man. We can't wait to see you, buddy.
Good to see you,
brother,
guys.
Brother from another mother. Always a pleasure. We will see you in the press box on Saturday, Texas at Houston, 3:00. The football game will be fine, but the press box will be a party. It's always joy.
Appreciate yes, sir. You, thanks for having me on, guys.
See you, Joseph.
See you guys.
On Second Thought.
Duck, always great to chop it up with Joseph Duarte, former beat writer for the Texas Longhorns for the Houston Chronicle. So he knows that program like the back of his hand. So it's kind of cool to have both sides of the perspective this week before a really big game after the bye week.
Yeah, and I love it. He's professional. You know, Joe's not a homer. You know, some college football writers, you run into that. But Joe's always been, you know, very professional, very sharp. And he calls it like he sees it. You know, it's like he's worried that, you know, Texas may hit 60 points. So, and I think it's possible. I think it's, you know, because, you know, they want to unleash some OU frustration. And Houston's the next team up. So I think Texas will probably come out smoking, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do, and they're better. They're healthy. They've had 2 weeks to get ready. The banged up guys are feeling better. Everybody but Cole Hudson practiced on Monday. We talked to Sark later on today. So we'll see what happens. I think Texas is going to probably put up 40. The question is, can Houston score on the Longhorn defense? And I just don't know that they're going to be able to score as much. They're going to have to do something in special teams to make things interesting. I could see a 45-10 type game here.
I like this Texas team's focus. You know, there have been so many years where we go, well, you just don't know what you're going to get each Saturday. And I feel like they've kind of crossed that line, you know.
They lost in a classic. They did not choke that game away.
No.
I didn't like the prevent defense. But they didn't choke that game away. They lost to a team that's if Texas doesn't win the Big 12, then Oklahoma is going to win the Big 12. Those are the two best teams in the conference, no question.
They've got a maturity about this team, and I see that in Quinn. You know, he's a very serious guy, and they've got some really strong leaders, you know, like Jade Barron and Jalen Ford and Christian Jones, who we love. You know, they've really got some good character people on this team, and anybody can beat anybody, but I just don't think they'll get slipped up on. You know, I think they'll come out with some very serious business intentions on Saturday.
You saw that look in Steve Sarkisian's face. He's not panicking. He knows what he's
doing.
They're healthy. They're pretty healthy. Yeah. Their quarterback is playing better and better. And the defense had a tough day against Oklahoma at times, but they're not facing that kind of weaponry this weekend.
And their goals, like they say, they still control their goals.
Yeah.
You know, if they win out, they'll be in Arlington. They'll have a chance to probably get some revenge on Oklahoma. So, but it's still all ahead of them, and that's what makes it still a fascinating season.
And can't wait to get there. I know you're headed up a day early to see Brother Rodney. I'm coming up the day of with Daniel Davis in tow, but we are going to give you the blow-by-blow from Robertson Stadium, just like we always do. Check out our stuff on hook'em.com. That's going to do it for episode 313 of On Second Thought. Big thanks to Joseph Duarte of the Houston Chronicle for joining us. For Kirk Bowles the Duck, I'm Sed Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by hook'em.com. Join Sed and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.